Hello and welcome to Phoenix Cinema Podcast. I am Chris Austin.
I am Luke Parker.
And this is a podcast where we discuss what's showing at the historic Phoenix Cinema in East Finchley, North London. And this week we're discussing everything from 2024.
Yeah, a lot to talk about, I think.
Yeah, there certainly is. I guess I'll start by asking you, well, how was 2024 for you personally?
You mean personally, or you mean in the realm of movies?
No, personally.
You know what? It's been a very good year. It's been a year of a lot of change. And I guess in general, that means I haven't had the time to watch as many movies that I would have wanted to, I guess, in hindsight. Mm. But I'm in a good place and I'm happy with how the year's gone. What about you?
Oh, that's great, man. Yeah, I feel the same. This was a good year. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to say that in a long time, honestly. I haven't.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, really. So, full of just a lot of personal, just really lovely things. I had 4 vacations this year. You know, I went to Hawaii. It was a lost year. Mm-hmm. You know, the 20th anniversary of my favorite show, and went to Hawaii, went to the lost concert, went to the locations, met Michael Giacchino, met Carlton Cuse. We spoke to Taylor Morden, who did the documentary on the podcast, because it just so happens to have its world premiere at the Phoenix Cinema. I get my lost tattoo. Was there something else lost related? Something significant? I don't think so. Is that it? Oh,
I
that might be it. Yeah.
Might be it. Yeah.
And then I went.
Cherry on top was our last episode of Dexter, I guess.
What a cracker. What a cracker of an episode that was. Yeah, absolutely. Such an amazing guy, right? So gracious with his time, so humble and
very easy to talk to.
So easy to talk to. He was amazing. And it does, and I've been telling you this, but it does represent the pinnacle of this podcast so far, and just what an achievement it's been. You know, this is another reason why this year has been so special for me, is because, you know, I started this podcast in February of this year. And by December, we're on such a roll. You know, we've spoken to Taylor Morden, we're speaking to Dexter Fletcher, and it feels like, you know, onwards and upwards. Yeah. And, you know, listen, if anyone has, been listening to this, and, you know, it's usually the people closest to us from the start, it's obvious that the hosts have changed. You know, this began with 2 other hosts and they're now no longer here, and it's been such a pleasure to have you come on here and do this with you. I mean, you saved the podcast, honestly. you truly did. You saved it.
It's been great. I'm pretty honored to be part of it, and, you know, I'm always up to chat about movies, so it's pretty bliss.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do it a lot, right? The film club, we do it a lot. But no, I'm so proud of this, and yeah, it really is such a special, special thing. And I can't wait to continue it. I really can't. It's funny because I kind of measure my years based on how well have I done creatively, how well have I done as an actor. And usually the answer to that year in and year out is not very well. Okay. or shall I say, not as well as I would have liked. And so it usually ends with every year that goes by me feeling a bit like a failure and feeling like I'm just not getting there, you know, which sucks. And unfortunately, I think that goes hand in hand with being not just an actor, I guess, a creative in general, but you just never feel as if you're where you want to be. And the amazing thing about this year is that I've kind of been able to kind of let go of that in service of having these amazing personal experiences, you know, having these vacations, having quality time with my girlfriend, with my friends, the podcast, the film club. It just feels so enriching and it feels enough right now.
That's great to hear. That's really awesome. Yeah, I think for me, like, I think if I look back, especially like towards the end of 2023, I'd kind of say that I wasn't really in like a good place and I didn't really feel settled anywhere and I wasn't really happy with what I was doing. But like I said, this year, I've gone through quite a few changes and I've started a big new job. I've moved houses and just much happier where I am now. And I feel quite secure and in a good place.
I'm so pleased.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You just flip the chart back, you know, 12 months and you were still in that National History Museum with the screaming kids everywhere. Man. That was your backdrop.
Desperate to get out and
yeah,
so happy now.
Oh, I'm so, so pleased. I'm so pleased. Well, on, you know, on that note, with all the positivity and the good feelings, what has been, well, actually, I thought it'd be fun to talk about. Now, I know you haven't been here from the start, but the best of the podcast, of the films that we have talked about on here so far. Do you have, again, it's, I don't know if you know everything we've already covered or if you've seen, I know yesterday you said you watched The Holdovers. That was episode two.
I think I've seen a good majority of the films done in the podcast, but I'm just going to get it up now to double check. Right. So you want to know my highlights?
Yeah.
In terms of like the episodes or the films?
Well, you could throw both in. I don't mind.
Okay. Well, I know my favorite episode of the podcast that we've done was Ikari XB1. I just thought that was a good chat, and you know I love sci-fi, so I loved how we kind of like went on some tangents about different sci-fi films, and there's a lot to talk about in there as well, and obviously it's always great to have Zaylin on as well.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. That is one of mine as well.
Awesome.
And it's one of the best films I saw this year, I guess, that I was introduced
to. Oh yeah,
that
was five stars for you, wasn't it?
That was five stars. Yeah, there have been 3 5-star movies for me in all the episodes that we've done so far. And that was one of them, for sure.
What were the other two? Remind me.
The other two were The Zone of Interest
and
Perfect Days.
Perfect Days I haven't seen, but Zone of Interest, great film. Yeah.
Okay, yes. If we had to like, if we did like awards or whatever, I mean, it would be Zone of Interest would probably be, I'd probably give that best director, and Perfect Days would probably get best picture. But yeah, the Zone of Interest was
Is that within the whole year or just within the podcast?
Just within the podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
Just within the podcast. Yeah. I mean, I know those two movies were 2023 releases, but they were 2024 UK releases.
Yeah.
And that experience in the cinema, The Zone of Interest, was disturbing and powerful.
I saw that in cinema as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been in a screen that's been so quiet. And it was and it was pretty full as well.
Yeah. And the sound design and the dry heave at the end was just staggering. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get the Perfect Days, and by the way, The Zone of Interest, absolutely criminal that has not been released on physical media yet.
Oh, hasn't it? I did not know that.
Despite all, I mean, it won Best Foreign Film and there is no release yet. I don't know if someone's...
Is that becoming like more of a thing now where these new releases aren't just, they're not bothering with the physical media side of things?
We could get into a whole conversation about that. And you know, I love me some physical media. And yeah, it's just, why is it so difficult? But thing is, usually when something gets like a lot of awards recognition, it's like a natural lock that you'll release it on physical media, especially just to make more money off the damn thing.
Yeah.
They haven't done that. I don't know who's holding on to that. I imagine Criterion will release like an amazing special edition one day, but yeah, very strange. And then you have Perfect Days, which, again, saw it in the cinema. Such a wholesome film, so beautiful, so powerful, an amazing performance by the lead actor in that movie. I can't remember his name, sorry for the life of me, but it's really great. I bought the Blu-ray of that, and that is a Mubi release. So it was, Mubi released it on Blu-ray. And Luke, I mean, as soon as this call is over, jump on it. I think you'd love it, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, we did do another Wim Wenders film in the podcast with Paris, Texas, which was another good episode. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that's a film I've seen a few times now. But I still love it. Still think it's an incredible film.
Yeah, also, it kind of sneaks up on you, the power of that movie.
That, like, final act is... Because it's such a... I think I said this during the podcast, but like the first like 2/3 of the film, it's quite empty. You know, it's very sparse, you know. But that final act like throws all the emotion on you like at once, and it's very well done.
Agreed. You know what's really funny? I was listening to one of my favorite film podcasters, Screen Drafts, and I was listening to an episode the other day, 2 days ago. And they do, you know, the best of whatever. Yeah, and it's a big fun game. And they did the best road trip movies. And in the top five was Paris, Texas. And they argued for that vehemently. And it was so nice to hear appraisal and appreciation for that movie again. It lined up a lot with what we thought.
Yeah. I think especially like the use of color in those like final scenes, it's really memorable. Like it's really stuck with me. The visuals from that film.
Yes, the visuals, the colors. I keep thinking of, honestly, that moment where Harry Dean Stanton is sitting in front of the glass and she's sitting in, you know, they've got the mirror, the glass between them, and it's lit in such a way that his face is completely reflected on hers. Mm-hmm. She's in like silhouette.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah, awesome film, awesome film.
Mm.
But yeah, go on.
No, I was going to say, that's basically it from the films we watched on the podcast for me.
Okay.
But in terms of 2024 overall, what has jumped out at you? And it could be something you loved, something you were disappointed by. And we could talk about anything. We could split it up into performances or direction, whatever.
Well, I've got a top three of the year, and I've got a few honorable mentions as well. And
I love think that.
I'll start with the honorable mentions. They're films that surprised me. And the first one of these is actually Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, haven't seen it.
Oh. So, I mean, you know how big a fan I am of not just the original films, but especially like the newer Caesar trilogy.
Same.
I think they're incredible. And when I first heard that they were continuing, I was very much on the side of why, what's the point? This is just like so unnecessary, you know?
Yeah.
A massive cash grab. And even after watching it, I still think that's what it is. Like, it's kind of strange because I still think it's unnecessary, but I don't mind it because it is a great fun blockbuster with awesome characters and great visuals, and just it's just so much fun. And even though it does not anywhere near hit the emotional beats of the Caesar trilogy, I think it was a great addition. And I feel like because I went into it expecting to be disappointed, I was very pleasantly surprised, and I really recommend it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I really need to get on this because I haven't seen it, and it's not just you that's raved about it. All I've heard is raves about it, so it's definitely on my list, and I can't wait to see it.
Okay, cool. Do you want to go with one?
I don't. No, you go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Another film that I absolutely loved, and this is kind of a personal one, was it was a documentary really straight to Disney Plus, and it was Jim Henson, Idea Man.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you'll know this as well, how big a fan I am of Jim Henson's work.
Oh yeah,
I'm pretty familiar with, apart from Sesame Street, I'm pretty familiar with all his work, especially his film Labyrinth, which is like my favorite film of all time. But I'm a big fan of the Muppets, like growing up, and the Dark Crystal as well. And as much as I love his work, kind of his personal story has always been a bit of a blind spot. And I saw his, like, a biography that was released a few years ago that I kind of really wanted to buy, but just never got around to it. And then I saw this on Netflix, and I didn't actually know anything about it. I didn't know they were releasing it. I just came up on the recommended, and I decided to watch it. And even though I don't think it does, like, anything groundbreaking in the realm of like documentary making or biographical documentaries, it was just such a personal and a heartfelt look at this man who, to me at least, is such a creative genius. And it was just so interesting to see where he came from and everything he went through to create his work, and how he was so revered and admired by the people around him. And the film, it does a great job of not being over the top, because I've seen quite a few of these kind of documentaries, and they kind of make the personal dramas in their life quite elevated, just, you know,
yes,
to make it more entertaining. But mm-hmm. the film's very nuanced and is very sensitive, and rightly touches on the kind of the more difficult elements in his life, but it does it in a really good way. And it just honors his work and his character a lot, but at the same time, like, presenting you like the flaws that he had as a character and just as a person. And I really, really loved it, and it was full of awesome behind the scenes footage from everything that he made. And I have to admit, there's like a scene right at the end where, so he died, I think, in the 90s. It was in the late 80s or the 90s, but, and at his funeral, they had one of the last shots of the documentary is at his funeral. It was like a big public open funeral, and they have a Big Bird, who's one of the characters from Sesame Street,
mm-hmm.
come on stage at the funeral and sing a song. And it's just, sure. it got me.
Yeah.
And it was just such a beautiful way to end it.
That was
one of my highlights for the year.
That's lovely. Yeah. That's such an impassioned argument for it. Yeah, yeah. I'm yet to see it. It's actually on my list. I think it won an Emmy.
Oh, awesome.
I think this year, yeah, it won like best special or documentary or something like that. Cool. So I haven't seen that. So that's great. I'd love to check that out.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What else you got? Is that still honorable mentions, by the way?
That's, yeah, those two were like honorable mentions, but I'll get into my top three.
Okay.
Okay. Number three was actually one that I only watched last week, and that was The Holdovers, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
It's just the characters in the film are just so well written, and all their personal dramas and personal problems, they feel so real, and it's a deeply, deeply personal film. I'm trying to remember the name of the... is it Davin Joy Randolph?
Yes, incredible performance.
One of the best performances of the year, in my opinion.
Ooh, thank you for reminding me. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and even just like the aesthetic of the film, like, it, you know, it goes for the old kind of 70mm look.
Yes, that's right.
Definitely goes for that aesthetic. It's really, really nice. Incredibly well made.
I'm glad you feel that way too. Yeah, we spoke about this on episode 2, but I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Such a well-made film. Paul Giamatti is excellent. Davin Joy Randolph is excellent. The best line in the whole movie, isn't it? You are penis cancer in human form. Is one of the best lines I've ever heard one character deliver to another. It's such a beautiful, warm film about family, makeshift family, community, friendship. It's wonderful. Actually, that's a major Christmas film.
Yeah, so I was kind of like annoyed that it took me so long to watch it, but then at the same time I was like, I kind of watched it at the perfect time of year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Davin Joy Randolph, she's a contender. Yeah, definitely. I mean, she won the Oscar, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, they were all great, to be fair.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. But yes, she did. She did win.
Yeah.
Deserved.
And then number two for me was Anora, which...
which we watched together.
We watched together only a few weeks ago. Again, it's a film that I knew nothing about and completely blew my expectations out of the water. Like, it's so unconventionally structured, but it works like incredibly well. And similar to Holdovers, like, the performances are just fantastic throughout. I mean, I haven't got too much to say on that one, but it's just a near perfect film in my opinion.
Agreed. Yeah, it was it's stunning. It's a stunning film. Incredible performances, and I am baffled by its inclusion under the category musical or comedy at the Golden Globes. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there are some very funny scenes in the film, but
for sure, but you do not label this a comedy.
Agreed.
And it's almost offensive to the movie. But it is incredible. There's that whole extended sequence in the house. And you know which scene I'm talking about when these people show up. That is one of the most amazing extended sequences I've seen in any film. It's
because I was from like the first maybe like 20 minutes of the film, you're expecting some kind of like alternative Pretty Woman kind of story, and that is how it kind of goes for the first like third of the film.
Yeah,
but then it takes a massive U-turn and it turns into something completely different.
Yes, it does.
I loved it.
And what I love about it is that there was no indication to me that that's where this was going to go.
Yeah.
So very well marketed. I mean, you look at, I think there's a few posters for it, but one of the posters is just these two holding each other and smiling.
Yeah.
And it looks for all intents and purposes like some sort of romance drama film. Where it goes is just, it's so harrowing and it's so gut-wrenching. And I agree with you. It's one of the best things I've seen this year, hands down.
Yeah.
And to what we were saying, we spoke about this at the end of our Blitz episode, but it cuts to black, the credits come on, and everyone was just sitting there almost like in this stunned silence.
Yeah, it forces you to reflect on like that shocking last sequence.
Yeah,
it's very clever. It's rare to see something like that.
Agreed. All right, I agree with you there.
Do you have any guesses on what my number one is?
Number one. What have you raved about this year? I
have raved about it to you, and I've actually raved about it with you.
What? Have I seen it?
Yeah.
I have. Do I like it?
Yes. Not as much as me. That's the impression I got, but...
Shit, I think you're going to have to lay it on me.
My favourite film of the year was definitely The Outrun.
Hang on a minute. Of course! took my brain a second to, that's, of course it is. Of course it is.
Sometimes you can feel a vibration in Orkney. A low rumble. It takes over the whole island. And every part of your body. But there is only so much height any wave can sustain before it comes crashing down.
But yeah, I mean, I spoke about it pretty in depth on the podcast episode, but very, very emotional film. Deals with a very sensitive topic in a very delicate way, and obviously very much benefited from the powerhouse that is Saoirse Ronan. But yeah, for me, that is a perfect film.
Amazing. So that is your... Of 2024, that's your number one.
That's okay. My number one, yeah.
Okay, amazing. I love that. I love that. I don't really have, like, honorable mentions or a top three. I kind of just, this is my favorite film of the year.
Okay, awesome.
And bearing in mind that I, again, like you, I haven't seen everything.
Yeah.
You know, and so give it January or February, you know, this could change potentially as I continue to watch things. But I think for me, the best film I saw this year was a movie called Origin.
Everywhere. All over the place. There's connective tissue. This, all of it, is linked.
It's a movie written and directed by Ava DuVernay.
Okay.
Ava DuVernay of, you know, many things, Selma and that amazing Netflix series, what was it, When They See Us, Anyway, it's a very, very powerful movie about this journalist, not a journalist, she's writing a book. This woman's writing a book, this black woman, and it's a book about the caste system. Actually, I think it's based on a book. She plays a real life character who wrote a book called Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents. And it's her researching. She travels to Germany, India, and also within the US, researching the caste system in each country's history. So the caste being the color of your skin and how that effectively places you into like a pecking order. Yeah.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, me neither. And so that is one of the most amazing things about the film is how educational and illuminating it actually is. And it goes into Germany, it goes into Nazi Germany and how they were viewing, you know, the white Germans compared to the Jewish. It goes into how maybe actually it makes a big statement and says the US played a major part in the US's politics, in informing Nazi politics with their treatment of slaves, you know, and black people. And then you travel to India in the movie and you see this. It's shocking, some of the images that you see that I had no idea about, because if you are born with a certain surname, you automatically are considered a higher caste. You're like, and people, if you're born what they deem to be much lower origin, you're not even allowed into people's houses. I mean, it informs the kind of work that you do. And it's just, Luke, it bounces around a lot, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flashback. There's a lot of, there's one sequence involving a young black boy in America. This kid must be 8 years old. And he's with a group of kids. I think they're all playing a sport. and he's celebrated because he's such an amazing player and the rest of the team is white. And this is in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then as a reward, I think, for winning their game, the coach takes them to a local swimming pool and no one wants the black kid in the water, meaning the adults. And so the black kid isn't allowed to get in the water. He has to go and sit by himself in the park mm-hmm. and listen to the kids play. And it is, and the white kids don't understand what's happening and why he's been separated. And Luke, it goes somewhere else, that scene where me and Carrie Anne watched it together and we were just in tears. We were in stunned silence.
Wow. Okay.
The power of this film. Yeah. So it's a hard film to recommend to people because it's not a jolly film. It's not going to make you feel good. Yeah. It's a harsh reality and it's a harsh truth about the way human beings treat each other. And yet there's something so beautiful about the film and really, really powerful.
Yeah, so, that sounds great. I definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
I honestly hadn't even heard of it.
Yeah, I don't even know how I heard of it. I don't know. But John Bernthal is in it and I love John Bernthal. He shows up very briefly and yeah, highly recommend that.
Awesome.
You know, I also like to do, I always say to myself, what's the best score of any given year as okay. well?
Yeah.
And I love, it's just personally, I want to know what the best score of any year was for me. Mm-hmm. Now, last year, there really wasn't a best score in my opinion, but I went to go and watch Sunset Boulevard on the West End. I think you...
Scherzinger.
With Nicole Scherzinger, yes. Yeah. And I'd never seen the film. I'd never seen the original musical. On a whim, my girlfriend invited me to go and see it. And I was like, all right, fine. It's a night out. And I sat there and I was blown away by the story, by the performances, by the direction, but most of all, by the music. Which is what's his name? God, now it's escaping me. Phantom of the Opera guy, Cats guy, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber did the music, and I think it was Don Black who wrote the lyrics, and he worked with John Barry a lot on a lot of the Bond.
Oh, cool.
Themes, yeah, and you can actually hear it in a way when you listen to the title song, Sunset Boulevard. Imagine that is the opening credits of a Bond movie. You can hear it. Trust me, you can hear it.
Nice.
Maybe I'll edit that in here. But yeah, it is Luke. It's amazing. So I had to tell Stefan, obviously my younger brother, who has composed the music for our podcast, is a great producer in his own right. He had to go and see it. I was like, if you love music, you have to go and see this. He was floored by it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they just released that version of the musical this year. Because before, the only albums available were Patti LuPone's version on Broadway and Glenn Close's version. Mm-hmm. Now you've got Nicole Scherzinger's version. And it is an amazing album. I highly recommend that. However, the album was released this year, but I watched it last year. So it doesn't count as the best score this year.
Yeah.
And I'm at a loss. It has been a tough year. It's been a dead year, I think, for scores. There's no clear winner. I think, now again, it might change because I might watch something soon and go, oh yeah, that was it. I think it might have to be Dune Part 2.
That's what I was going to say as well. Yeah. I mean, even though I don't think it's anything like glaringly new from Zimmer, it's very Zimmer. It complements like the film and the amazing visuals of the film very well. And it's because I'm a big fan of the book. And I feel like it complements the world of Arrakis perfectly. And it's very, very good at kind of building that vibe. But yeah, I agree that even in a lackluster year, that probably is the best. It's, well, at least it's probably the only one that actually stood out to me.
Yeah, agreed. And that song, you know, with the flute, mm-hmm. that love theme, whatever, is amazing.
And yeah, the way it builds as well.
It's
very, very cool.
Yeah. We were fortunate enough to hear that live mm-hmm. this year when we went to the World of Hans Zimmer at the O2.
Oh, I forgot and... that. I forgot about that. That was that was a great night.
Which, by the way, that album of that show, end of January, is being released, so we get to listen to that whole... Yes, I cannot wait. But yeah, that... Yeah, it looks like the clear winner maybe amongst the rest. It's hard to listen to as an album. One of the things I love about scores is if I can listen to it start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a bit of a tough one. But yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, maybe it's probably just the few standout tracks for me. Like, I don't actually think I've gone and listened to it
like
front to back. But
yeah. That's exactly what it is. I tried the other day and I couldn't do it. It's about four standout tracks, basically. Yeah. but I'll tell you what I have been listening to a lot, only because of all the hype around it. Mm-hmm. And Carrie Ann went to see it. And a new friend I made this year, actually, who I met when I went to my friend's wedding in Scotland, she's been raving to me about it and begging me to go and see it. And that's Wicked.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very hot at the moment.
Very hot. And, you know, I love a musical. I am prone to, as I waxed lyrical about Sunset Boulevard a few minutes ago, I love a good musical. And the problem is I've never seen the show and I haven't seen the movie. And usually it doesn't matter how good a musical album is. I can't get into it. I have to have seen the story and the narrative play out. Yeah. And then the music hits me because I have more... You know, there's more context to it. But I've been listening to that Wicked album. There's two albums. You've got the composed album by John Powell, which is cool. I tried listening to it. Not really. But the actual cast recording, the songs, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to it all the way through, but a few of the songs are quite regularly played on the radio.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so I've heard them, but... Not on purpose.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And they're nice. They're nice, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might be going tomorrow to see this film with Carrie Ann. And who knows, I might walk out of there and be like, no, this is the one, because now I'm going to be listening to it over and over. So we'll see. I mean, time will tell on that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the film and people are raving about it, which is kind of surprising, I think.
Really raving about it, yeah. And you know, I'll be honest, I stayed away from it because the director, John M. Chu, I'm not a big fan. He did Crazy Rich Asians, and not to say I watched it. I think it was on once. Carrie Ann was watching it and I happened to be glancing over and I was not impressed. And then, a few years ago, me and Carrie Ann went to go and see In the Heights in the cinema. Again, I'd never seen the musical on stage. She had... I hate that film, but the songs I love. The songs are amazing, but I hated the film. Yeah. So when I heard Wicked and I looked at the director, I was like, no interest whatsoever. But apparently it's fantastic.
It's a long one though.
Yeah. And they pull a Dune where you go in going, oh, I'm going to watch Wicked. And you sit down and then the credits say part one. And you're like, fuck off. other than that, there are major blind spots. There are certainly films this year that I really wanted to see that I didn't get to see. One of them being Civil War.
Same. Yeah.
You didn't see that either?
No.
Yeah, you see, and I heard amazing things about it.
I think it's on to rent now, at least.
Oh, yes, it's available now.
Yeah,
it's available now. And actually, you sent over that trailer the other day for 28 Years Later, and Jesus Christ. One of the best trailers of the last how many years? Yeah.
I mean, they wrote an article about the trailer for like Computer News or something. Like,
yeah, that's how it looks awesome. That's how it really does. Mm-hmm. And And that's obviously, that's Danny Boyle, but that's another Alex Garland written film.
Yeah.
Love Lies Bleeding. I wish I got around to that. I never did. Did you?
Was that with, what's her name?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, that's it. Kristen Stewart. Yeah. That looked quite good. Yeah.
It looked really good. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't.
And it never got to that. So again, these are all things that I have to catch up on, and then my mind might change completely. Was there anything you watched this year that did disappoint you in any way, where you were like really hyped for it and then it just didn't quite deliver?
That's what I'm trying to think about now. I'm just looking through films that I've seen this year.
Because for me, it was exactly what we just talked about. It was Dune Part 2. But I know that you loved that.
Yeah, I mean, both the first and the second film, I think, are great. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wish I had the same level of enthusiasm for it like you do. Yeah, I can't connect with the films at all. But at the same time, I can appreciate on a technical level, like aesthetically, how gorgeous it is. And you marry the image with Zimmer's score, and it's just, as a cinematic experience, it is bombastic, and it is quite incredible in that respect. I wish I felt more about it, I guess.
Was Madame Web this year?
I believe so.
I didn't finish it. I don't even think I got halfway through it. But
yeah, okay.
So I guess based on that, that probably would be at the bottom of the list.
That wasn't well received at all.
No.
Another one I really wanted to get to this year was Rebel Ridge. Did you watch that?
Don't think so. Actually,
yeah.
Let's double check. Netflix
movie, Jeremy Saulnier, the director, you know, The Blue Ruin and all of that. No, apparently it's very good. And I really want to watch it because... Oh, he did Green Room. Did you ever see Green Room?
Yes.
That's why I'm like, okay, I will always watch whatever he does. Apparently that's very good. So I need to get to that. Yeah, there's just so many blind spots.
Yeah. I mean, like Substance, Gladiator 2.
Oh, The Substance, come on.
I haven't seen. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's on movie now, but.
I think it is. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Got some catching up to do.
A lot of catching up to do for us. Cool. Well, I guess before we go, is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to next
I'm
year?
I'm very much looking forward to Nosferatu. Because I know we just said 28 years later is a great trailer, but just based purely on the trailer that I saw in the cinema for it, amazing.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the trailer.
Oh, it's so cool.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
I really like Robert Eggers, and I feel like the story of Nosferatu like complements his style so well. So it should be great.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, excellent. Yeah, there's a couple of films I'm looking forward to, one of them being Wolfman. Lee Whannell, who did The Invisible Man.
Is that the new... Yeah, sorry. Is that the new, Monsters Universe
one? I think that's what he's doing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's doing the Universal Monsters, and The Invisible Man was excellent. He's just a great director.
Nice.
So yeah, Wolfman I can't wait for. There's a new Mel Gibson film. I think it was meant to be released end of this year, but it's been pushed back, called Flight Risk, that he's directed with Mark Wahlberg. I don't care what it's about. I will be there. I will watch it. Mel Gibson is one of my favorite filmmakers. So yeah, that, and I guess the last Mission Impossible film, I was not a fan of Dead Reckoning Part 1. I think the story was absolute pants. Actually, I sent a voice note to my friend Will the other day saying something was pants. What was it? Oh, I was talking about baby reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, we should really go back to using the word pants to describe yeah. things we don't like. but I mean, the
trailer looks pretty good.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the action and the action set pieces are just spectacular, and that's the reason you watch it anyway. So whatever, the story can actually be whatever. You just go for the incredible action and the stunts that you know Tom Cruise is putting himself through.
I guess 28 years later as well is one I'm very excited for. Big fan of both the previous ones. Yeah,
I haven't seen them.
Really?
Yeah, okay. In fact, I think I saw the first one in bits and drabs. I was like half watching it. So it's a great excuse from that trailer to sort of revisit that.
28 Days Later is one of the best zombie films of all time. 28 Weeks Later tends to get a bit of stick, like, because it's nowhere near as good as 28 Days Later. But for me, it still sits firmly in the realm of like good sequels. I know a lot of people don't really like it as much, but
that's right.
I still think it's very solid.
Okay, excellent, nice. Yeah, nice.
And then I guess the final one I'm excited for is Del Toro's Frankenstein. I think it's coming out towards the end of the year.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Who's Frankenstein?
Let's see.
Is it like Willem Dafoe?
The monster is Jacob Elordi.
Okay.
And then Oscar Isaac's playing Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my
it's got Charles Dance, Christoph Waltz, Mia Goth.
Oof. Oof. Is it live action?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oof, okay. Well, yeah, that's going to be a must watch.
Yeah.
That's
going to
be a must watch. Yeah.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah. And another film getting released next year is Predator Badlands, which is the next film directed by Dan Trachtenberg, who did Prey. You watched Prey, right?
Oh, I loved Prey.
Oh, he's doing another Predator film.
Awesome.
And I can't wait. I have no idea what it's about. Don't even know what era it's going to be set in. But Dan Trachtenberg's a great filmmaker. He did 10 Cloverfield Lane as well, and I loved that.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't even know about this, but very excited.
Yeah. So there's stuff to look forward to. But like I was telling you yesterday, if the Phoenix Cinema ain't showing it, chances are I may not see it because, you know, we watch what the Phoenix is showing and then we watch what's in Film Club and then there's little time for anything else. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get there. We'll get there. But this was great, man. Cool. Thank you for doing this. This has been, again, it's been such a pleasure. This is us essentially wrapping up 2024 now. I've had a blast doing this with you and I can't wait for
It's been great.
Wait for 2025 and all that will bring and
yeah,
all that we'll get to discuss as well. For what the Phoenix is showing and I guess I'll see you then, dude.
Awesome. See you then.
Lovely. We'll be back in the new year and on our next episode, we'll be discussing Edward Berger's Conclave. Can't wait. Please everybody, if you like what you're hearing, please rate, like, subscribe and share. It can only help us massively. So please do that and then head to the Phoenix Cinema. They are reopened now. 2 screens,
hey.
New comfy chairs, great sound. So if that entices you, and I'll see you there. Thanks, guys.